Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
This is Chinook Patterns. I'm Paula Schiller with the second part in a series looking at the financial success of the Sea Alaska Regional Corporation. Sea Alaska is now on the Fortune 1000 list of America's top companies. Board Chairman Byron Malott told a group of university students that the corporation's economic growth fulfills only a partial demand of its shareholders. In 1991, when the Native Corporation stock may be sold on the free market, Malott says he hopes Sea Alaska stock means more to the shareholders than dividend payments.
If you just looked at it superficially, when shareholders are talking to you, they say, where is my Indian money? You know, what have you done for me lately? You know, and you look at the economic status of shareholders, of Native corporations in general, and it's natural that they react this way. Because for many shareholders, you know, life is just a question of economic survival. But at the same time, as we've gone out and start talking to shareholders, when you start talking about these kinds of issues, trying to get some sense of how strongly our own shareholders felt about our nativeness, about the underpinnings of ANCSA, the response we've gotten back has been overwhelming. People have said, one of the reasons we've asked you about what have you done for me lately is not so much out of a sense of personal frustration as to my own personal economic status, but out of a sense that by solely focusing, as you seem to have done, on the economic future of our corporations, you seem to have forgotten what our future is all about. And we feel much better, and we'll give you more time to be responsive to us if you demonstrate a major sustained kind of commitment to our survival as a people. And that has given our board a much stronger sense of confidence in directing, for example, corporate funds into areas that won't generate a direct economic return, but hopefully will have broader impact in this other area. And just the business of transmitting a whole lot of legal gobbledygook based both on the Claim Settlement Act and the operation of corporations, the shareholders is difficult to do, you know. Even I, after 10 years of a heck of a time reading a financial report or even reading our own annual report, you know, not very many people do. White, black, or purple, just ain't fun reading. It's a problem. Sea Alaska spends a lot of money every year just on communications with shareholders. And one of the things that we've done, which is not very efficient and is costly, but we think is necessary, is we've been sending our board members around to all the places where shareholders live in any numbers to meet with them like this on a one-on-one basis, talk about these issues. Because all the print stuff we send out just doesn't seem to be getting across.
Another program Sea Alaska is contemplating that is more of a service than a business is a plan to make sure elder shareholders receive some immediate return from the land claim settlement.
Sea Alaska, and I think we're not the only corporation doing it, I think one village corporation already has such a program, is looking at a corporate-wide pension program for all shareholders. It'd be a costly program, and it's going to be legally complex to devise, but we're looking at that, and you know that's been a source of concern right from the very start. We've had a lot of shareholders already die without getting the kinds of benefits that will accrue over time. But you got to recognize, though, that in the first 8 years of the Claim Settlement Act, more money has been distributed directly to shareholders and probably will be distributed for the next decade. Just Sea Alaska to its shareholders since 1971 has distributed about $150 million of Native Fund monies. And so in addition to worrying about those that are alive now and that will be passing away shortly, there's going to be a generation, or at least some number of years, in which direct benefits to all shareholders will be rather scanty. One major problem of ANCSA that we all need to address, in addition to the elders, is that after 1971, with the passage of the Act, all natives born after that aren't shareholders. They don't participate. And you've got literally thousands of Alaska natives born since December 18, 1971, who aren't shareholders of any corporation. The thinking of Congress and the Native leadership at the time that the Act passed was that as Native children were born, that they would be included in the wills of the parents and that they would be covered. But we found from examining our own shareholder records that a lot of stock is being transferred laterally to others within families. And so there are just literally thousands and thousands of Alaska Native children who, by all moral rights, ought to be direct participants in the Claim Settlement Act, just ain't. And by 1981, they're going to be growing up and asking questions. And at that point, the rest of the shareholders are going to have to ask themselves some questions about, do we include these folks? And if so, how? And I'll tell you one thing I believe, is that we aren't going to be able to go back to Congress and say, fix it. We'll have to fix that ourselves. And there's no way that you can fix something like that without diluting the existing value of your stock, because you're adding more people. So that's a real sleeper.
Solutions to political, social, and cultural concerns can be developed more fully now that Sea Alaska has its finances under control.
Sea Alaska knows, looking at our own shareholders, that we've got just one living decade, I think, not generation, but one living decade of shareholders who can really link us with our past. Shareholders 65 and older who have really lived and understand the nuances and the subtleties and the realities of Native culture and heritage and religion and philosophy. And we feel a strong obligation to sustain that and to bring it forward. And we're developing programs ourselves to attempt to do what we're able. Working with the elders, we're establishing an elders conference. We're looking at putting together, and we hope we'll have a pilot project in place this summer called a cultural survival camp project, where we'll take young people and put them in direct contact with this group of the elders that I've just discussed, and have them interact in a setting that is conducive to a strong interest and focus on our past, like a village, like a particular kind of activity at fish egg time or something, and have it a formal program. We're just feeling our way through it now, but where you take a group of young people and say, after you've been here 3 days, you can't speak English anymore. You know, for the whole month or weeks that you're here, you've got to begin to think and live like these old folks. And they may not come out being fluent or even knowing physically much more than they went in about their language, but hopefully they'll know a hell of a lot more about what it is to be a Native person. That's one step. Our whole obligation to influence public policy, to be more sensitive and responsive to minority and racial concerns in our state, is one area that Sea Alaska, and I know other regional corporations, feel an obligation also. We busted our butts, for example, to get Natives on the U of A Board of Regents. We've worked very hard to get, and we've spent considerable dollars to get Natives into the Alaska legislature. The changes that those kinds of things bring about will take time, see Alaska as a full-time, several full-time lobbyists up at the legislature. We know other regional corporations do also. It's just an incremental kind of involvement that everybody else uses. You know, the rest of society didn't make things happen by going before a microphone and making a grand pronouncement about what was going to be. You know, they did it the way we've got to do it. You know people, you make small changes here, you make contacts, you influence people. In order to influence people, you've got to get to them and you've got to get their attention. And I think that over time, that we'll have that capability, and I think that the impact of that will be substantial in terms of influencing public policy in our state. And a lot of people won't even know what's happening because it's going on right now. But hopefully it will produce the kinds of results that are necessary.
The university students listening to Mulat were interested in what kinds of degrees and credentials Native corporations wanted to see from graduates who will be coming to them for jobs.
Well, certainly Native corporations kind of take a second look when they see a business degree. And I suspect Native corporations would take a second look if they see degrees in areas in which they have business enterprises, and see Alaska, for example, in forestry or fisheries or mining or geology or those kinds of areas. But I think that for the future of our corporations, it's much more important to be strongly imbued with a sense of nativeness and the concern for the more broad angst issues, you know. That is, not what can I do to get myself in a position where I can proceed toward personal retirement and gain, although that's hugely important. But a sense of desire to contribute to the future of Native people as a whole. And if we don't have in the next decade a lot of shareholders coming out with that kind of spirit, we may be good business corporations, but we probably will have failed as a people. And and I don't know, you know, and I think that at least Sea Alaska will be looking at that, and we want shareholders to be beating us over the head with it, you know. We want shareholders to be telling us time and again that, hey, you know, all this business crap is fine, but you guys have a bigger obligation. And we want you to be profitable because we want to use the financial and economic strength of these corporations on our behalf. But your real obligation as leaders and your real obligation as people is to have us survive as a culturally identifiable race and as a people that are going to live forever. And that spirit within the corporations is going to survive only if those people coming into the corporations bring it with them. And that's really the bottom line as far as I'm concerned.
Byron Mulat, chairman of the board of the Sea Alaska Regional Corporation. He spoke at a Native Studies seminar in Fairbanks. For Chinook, I'm Paula Schiller, and this has been a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.